Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
I realize I have been muted. Well, that's embarrassing. Thank you to our moderator, Luis, for letting me know. Should I just redo the whole thing? I gave you guys so many scoops. You all, there were so many things that I revealed to you guys right there. Well, Alex is here. Here's the rundown of what I said for the minute that I was muted on the air.
Okay.
Sounds
good.
I said, what's up, you guys? I said the date, mentioned that my name is Sean Ross Sapp. I said that you would be here. Noted that you would be hosting the All In Post Show with Kate because I will be at the thing. Yeah.
That's correct.
So there's that. I think I said that we've got interviews with Missa Kate, Ben Bishop, Zoe Lucas coming up on the YouTube this week. You know, just the regular plugs as I waited for Alex. I always get started immediately, and I just like, you know what? I can talk a little bit, wait on Alex. But by God, you've been here since about 3 seconds into me being unmuted. Alex, how you doing?
Good. I'm sorry. I was told this was the 300th episode of Dynamite. And if there's anything I know from watching professional wrestling for, about 20 years there, ending at around 2019, that, and even continuing, that big number episodes are mostly retrospective video packages and also retired members, former members of your roster coming back and burying the current talent. And so I was very confused watching this big momentous 300th episode of Dynamite that we didn't see any of that. It was mostly just great in-ring action.
We have a lot of that to talk about tonight.
We do. We have a lot to talk about. That's good.
And if you are interested in that attitude covering AEW and WWE programming, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I'll get the plug out of the way because we had quite the update on Britt Baker today. But FightfulSelect.com, today we had news on a pretty high up star that is expected back soon. We're going to have more on on potential returns tomorrow. I've got WWE contract news coming tomorrow. I do a Q&A every week. I've got Q&A articles there every day. We've got an exclusive Discord, Alex, of which I dropped a scoop over a year ago that Tony Khan confirmed today. He said, we couldn't book All In at Wembley because of Coldplay. And that was a story that I broke over a year ago in our Discord. Right. So, man, hope you guys will be open to checking that out. We also broke news that Ricochet will be competing in only his second indie match in 7 years at House of Glory. But please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It is our lifeblood. It is what supports the entire staff. So if you don't mind, drop that $5.99 a month. And it is also the home of a wonderful wrestling community that I think you guys would love an awful lot. You can also gift subscriptions over there. So if you've got a friend that's like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know about it. Go ahead, get them a subscription, by God. But if you're here, leave a thumbs up. Get your question or statement in by sending a super chat or humper chat. You might say, Sean, why on earth would we want to do that? Well, because we break an awful lot of news here at Fightful Select, and maybe you want to direct the course of the conversation. That's what we do here. One of those pieces of news that we did, actually, I don't know if we broke it. We kind of fixed it on FightfulSelect.com, but it was the rumors that Britt Baker was actively wanting out of the company. Now, from what I understand, a producer had indicated something like that to a person that reported it. But I mean, I spoke as directly as humanly possible and was like, just heard, don't know what that's about. She was brought up creatively a couple months ago. Don't know if those creative plans got to her for a big Double or Nothing plan. She is not, as of now, scheduled for StarCast. But first off, she's under contract for over a year. And with injury time, could be 2027, Alex. But I would like to see her at least brought in for the Casino Gauntlet match. Like, I think when you're doing a show like this, you probably should.
Yeah, honestly, she was a name that I thought might just pop up tonight. Because I joke, but I did think there was going to be more of, 300 episodes. That's a feat. And a celebration of the history of AEW. She would be a name that like would pop up backstage interviewed by Renee, even for 25 seconds, that would engage the reaction of the crowd. If they pop huge for her, well, maybe start a program for her after All In, if that's available, like stuff like that. I mean, listen, I would hate it, but I'm frankly amazed we didn't get a hi guys from Chris Jericho at some point in here, because he was such a major part of Dynamite and has been the entire time that's been on the air. Someone said that if Jeff Jarrett had appeared on this show, he would have been on the 300th episode of Raw and the 300th episode of Impact and the 300th episode of Dynamite, which is just a thing you do, even if he walks through in the background of a shot. Just to get him on the TV, you know, just to say it happened.
You know what's better? Being on the 301st episode of all of there those, which is still there a possibility, I believe.
Yeah.
By God. Please check out FightfulSelect.com. We got an awful lot of great news for you guys. As always, every single day we have exclusive news over there. Every single day we have a Q&A element over there. Every single day our Fightful Select Discord is there. As reliable as possible. A few other platforms really quick. Facebook, Fightful Espanol, all that good stuff. And please bear with us as we undergo site migration over the next week or so. We are trying really hard to get that off the ground. That has been a gigantic pain. But by God, let's talk about what happened on this show. Zach Schimmel said, AEW ruled tonight. What else should be added to the All-In card? TNT title, Místico and Gauntlet. Athena versus someone. Well, I think Athena is probably going to be in the gauntlet since she was in the qualifier. Místico would make an awful lot of sense, but I don't know for the life of me why you wouldn't advertise him for it to move some tickets in that area, Alex.
Yeah, like Místico will be in the gauntlet. Like even if you say that, you know, MJF is number two and Briscoe is number one, here are some other names who have been entered into the gauntlet. And the people who you say will be in there, you know what I mean? Like the,
yeah,
this whole deal of like, well, it could end in the first 5 minutes, you know, you're not going to do that at all in. So we all accept that little bit of, you know, suspension of disbelief. So announce five people who are now who've announced they want to be in the gauntlet. And one of them is Místico. If that's what you're doing with him, it didn't frankly make a lot of sense to me, because the argument that I saw posted was, well, it'll be a CMLL thing between him and MJF, and maybe Místico's not even in the States right now. And then They advertised him for the Collision match.
Yes.
Which is being taped currently.
Tonight, so, yes.
I don't understand why we didn't figure out a way to do that instead. The only thing that makes any sense to me is if MJF is winning the entire gauntlet. And that you have, that is the plan as the first opponent for Hangman, please God, knock on wood, whatever. Like, he has to win the versus Moxley so that MJF would be the first opponent, so he wins the gauntlet. If he's not winning the gauntlet, a much better thing to do would be Místico versus MJF in Arlington. It just would be. So I that must be the plan for MJF to win the gauntlet.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll talk more about that as we get there. But as far as what's going to be added, it's interesting because there are only six matches announced for this. And I don't look around and see a ton of people that really need to be added to this. Now, the Ops are the Trios champions. I would add them. What's the most compelling match that you have of theirs? Like, I mean, like, it's there was who faces them? Well, you could say Paragon, but I mean, Adam Cole's TNT champion. Like, who's he going to face? Daniel Garcia?
If you're not doing Fletcher versus Adam Cole, which I think you are, then
yes,
then you figure out a way to do the Ops versus three members of the Don Callis family, including Kyle Fletcher, Takeshita, and Josh Alexander. Like they're a major heel faction that doesn't at this point have anything booked for all in. They're kind of nominally sort of allies of the Bucks and the Death Riders, so the Ops want to take them out. I'm anticipating, especially with the stipulation we'll discuss in a little bit, that there are going to be so many run-ins that it'll make the Bloodline match look like a straight up one-on-one with no disqualification, no interferences.
And of course, Jack Perry's been off TV for a while. Yeah. Maybe we could see him pop up at the end, which we'll talk about. Jericho, I think, would actually make sense for the gauntlet as a surprise. Like,
yeah,
have him pop up there and be like, oh my God, it's Chris Jericho. Great, great spot for him. Sure. Cope isn't on this show. FTR is not advertised as of yet. Does Ricochet have a match yet?
No, not that I know of.
There you go.
He feels like a top guy in the gauntlet to me, guy who, so if somehow like Místico were to cost MJF the gauntlet and Ricochet wins it and he's the first guy for Hangman, because we know whoever Hangman faces first isn't going to win, but Ricochet would get a major world championship program for Ricochet would be great.
One thing I think should be added to this show, even unannounced, is the Max Caster Open Challenge. That is an easy way to get somebody on there, get them an entrance pop, get them a squash win, and honestly reward Max Caster for an incredible job that he has done this year, like getting himself over. I am very interested to see how all of this sort of unfolds. It does seem like Fletcher and Adam Cole, I wouldn't hate to see Daniel Garcia kind of sneak in there and make it like a triple threat or something like that.
Yeah, that might be interesting.
But I guess we'll see on that one. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate that. We've got Hangman Page coming out, and he cuts a phenomenal promo. And, I love it, man. He gets pretty well to the point. He's like, I want a Texas death match because I know that you're going to bring the Elite. I know you're going to bring the Death Riders. Maybe he brings out Gabe Kidd because what the hell happened to him? Where like, they just put him on TV and then just
didn't make any sense.
Maybe Jack Perry's out there too. I would bring everybody. And he says he wants to be ready. So he wants a Texas death match. And Moxley's like, no, you, because you don't want that.
Yeah.
And this is a case of Moxley definitely trying to convince himself here.
Yes.
Like Moxley is doing this against his better judgment because he's not dumb. He watches the show. He sees Swerve and Ospreay and he understands how many people he's pissed off. We see the ops come out there. He eventually accepts this. I do think maybe they should have got the upper hand on the ops because I feel like you may have given away a little too much of what happens at the end of their match with the Avengers assembling and mm-hmm. running off all the heels. But after this, Hangman says, and just to let you know, I'm serious about doing anything. And then he just wallops Marina Shafir, who sold. I don't think she had to sell much.
No.
He knocked the living shit out of her.
She took that buckshot in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, she did earlier. So for those of you who did not watch, she did paintbrush him really hard.
She was just walking around being a woman, Alex.
Four times in a row.
Stop advocating beating women. Alex, come on.
I'm not. I'm just saying it would be weird if she hadn't immediately preceding this paintbrushed him really hard four times in a row. Now,
well, you know what my wall does when I paint it? It beats the shit out of me.
It's true. But I will say that I did love that the reason she found herself back in the ring with Hangman is because she was going to hit him with the briefcase thing that has the belt in it, we presume. Yeah. And he takes it and he's like, I got something you want, probably. So give me what I want. I love that he says, he doesn't say, at this point, he doesn't say, give me a Texas death match. He says, give me Texas death, which is just now that, especially for next week, right after the 4th of July, you need to be selling red, white, and blue, give me Liberty or give me Texas death t-shirts because everybody's buying one. That's great. Love it.
What I hope happens is when they finally open up the briefcase, it is a bunch of IOUs and it's a big cross promotional thing for Dumb and Dumber syndicated on TBS. That's what we need. But Tom LaValle says, this is the best men's world title build since Hangman's first championship. Everything getting bigger every week. We got AEW Endgame next week. So the ops did make the save. But again, I think that this really, really needs to be a situation where, men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
The AEW baby faces overwhelm the heels. Yes. And again, this is not a even number of odds things. I want Eddie Kingston. I want Darby Allin. I want Sting. I want the Dark Order. I want Swerve, Ospreay, Kenny Omega. I want the ops. I want everybody. I want everybody who has been wronged or has waved that AEW flag. Yes. Dustin Rhodes out there, for the love of God. Anybody you can find that waves that AEW flag.
Yep.
I would really, really want that. Bryan Danielson, somebody mentioned, got to have Bryan Danielson as well. Danielson specifically taking out Yuta. I thought that they would even build Yuta and Danielson for this show try to move some more tickets. That there are a number of matches. There are three ticket moving matches that I thought they would do here. I thought they would do Mystico MJF. I thought they would do FTR versus Cope and Christian. And I thought they would do Bryan Danielson's return match. And they didn't. But hey, they're moving past 20,000. And regardless of what very, very weird people are going to say about the capacity of the venue, this is going to cross AEW's all-time attendance record for North America. And that is fantastic. And listen, as far as pay-per-views go, I think you'd have to go back to the Jim Crockett Promotions era and the Great American Bash Tour to get back to that. Now, Nitro had some shows like in the Georgia Dome that put more asses in seats. And that, listen, that's incredible that they were able to do that. But it's pretty impressive when we were talking about a company 7 years ago that didn't exist, but the hypothetical of, can they do half that?
Right.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. The thing you were talking about of all the baby faces overwhelming the heels, something that I actually had thought they were just going to do months before now is have Moxley broker a deal on screen with Don Callis for the use of his boys as a thing. Like, actually let us, like, if you help me make sure that we get passed All In, then I'll give your boy Fletcher a title shot or something. And try and do that. Maybe this way predates the MJF stuff, but like, broker a deal with MVP for the use of the Hurt Business. Lashley and Shelton would be great as like just added security. Do that. Like, with, now you could do it with Stokely and FTR, but if you can figure out a way to just get a few where it looks like, hey, Hangman, not only do you have the Death Riders, but now you've got FTR and these members of the Don Callis family. So it's like, we're rolling 8-9 deep.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the entire babyface locker room empties out onto the stage. And now you're outnumbered 3-1. Now what? Like you thought you were bringing extra guys to this rumble? Well, I got everybody. I think that would be a really cool point of that inevitable Avengers Endgame moment where all the baddies and all the goodies fight.
I mean, I like those odds, and I'll tell you what, I like them almost as much as the odds at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Get your pro wrestling odds, get your UFC odds at MyBookie. But it's not just that. They've got an incredible deal right now. Use the code FIGHTFUL. Deposit $100 and get $50 as a bonus, or deposit $200 and get a $100 bonus. It's not just pro wrestling and MMA, which, by the way, yeah, you can bet on pro wrestling. It's a great betting experience. There is a 50% sports welcome bonus, a 150% casino bonus up to $750. You can bet with Bitcoin. They have slot games, all kinds of stuff like that. But Major League Baseball, tennis, FIFA, anything you can imagine, over at MyBookie. I am so happy. Today we just inked a deal with them through the rest of the year, and I'm very excited to do business with them. Just ecstatic, honestly. They've been wonderful to deal with. We hammered that out. They said, you know what? We want to try you all out. And after that 3-week run, they're like, give us some more Fightful. And I said, by God, give me some more MyBookie. I heard about them through my good friend, Chris Van Vliet, and they've been fantastic. They really have. Use that code Fightful. Next week, we're going to have a bunch of lines for you, and we'll discuss them on the show from AEW. So they'll be getting them up over the next couple of weeks, or obviously over the next week, rather. MyBookie and the code Fightful. Maddie Nice says, I hate that they act like they haven't done a Texas death match before. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Hangman should probably have indicated, like, you also know why I want to do a Texas death match.
Yeah. Well, he said, you know what? You know I can hang. Mm-hmm. I know you know I can hang in a Texas death match, which is why you don't want to give me one. But they could have been specific about it. Like, on this date, at this place, we did a Texas death match before, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, Moxley is no stranger to these either. He's had three of them. Like, two of them were in, I think, he had one against Archer. He had two against Archer, rather.
Yeah.
Because he had the back-to-back ones. Those were so much fun. Corey Stalling says, Alex's dream has come true. Ricochet found his crew. Mm-hmm. Also, if Hanger loses, we riot.
See, I wasn't able to watch Collision when it was on last week. And I finally got some time carved out this morning to sit down and watch last week's episode of Collision. And then this segment happens where Ricochet and the Gates of Agony seemingly join forces. And I was like, why did I not get a Google alert? Somebody should have texted me. This was a major moment in the history of our nation. I'm so excited.
I love it. It was a team that we really felt like could have benefited from that. And I'm very glad that they are the ones. Very glad. Jamal says, I think if Jack Perry returns, he is the final interference, cost Hangman the match, bringing in that interaction with Jon Moxley full circle. Jamal, I would advise against betting on that at mybookie.ag. If I can nearly guarantee one thing, it is that Jack Perry will not cost Hangman Page the main event of AEW All In. I like Jack Perry as a performer. I like him a lot more than most people. That would be a turn the TV off and not turn it back on for several Wednesdays type of move. If they did that. OGTK Cole says, Sean, I see Alex in Costco with I Secretly Love Chris Jericho t-shirt on with a Fozzy headband. Please snap a picture of this. Please. And then, you know, we got
that is not Jamal. A thing you saw. You might have seen me in Costco, but you did not see me wearing that t-shirt because I never wear it out of the house.
Are you a Costco guy?
I mean, we have one near us, and occasionally we'll go, and because we're doing a big barbecue for the 4th. For the 5th, actually. So we went and got burgers and buns and stuff.
Are you going to bring the boom?
Yes. We're going to bring the boom because I'm a Costco guy. So
Of course you bring the boom. Oh, buddy, I'm going to look like Seahawk on Friday. My wife makes these incredible hot dog sauces that are just so good. So I'm just sitting there. Bam, 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 bam. Just straight down the gullet. Straight down the gullet.
Yeah.
Got to do it. Vicky says, SRS and Alex, you said, Sting! Cash. We appreciate you. Listen, I got some Sting news coming to FightfulSelect.com. FightfulSelect.com. Jamal says, any update on Hook, the whole angle with the ops? Joe just stopped. Unfortunately, the news is that he had sustained a concussion. And they did that in order to sort of plant that seed, him popping up and doing what he did. But he's still not good to go from the concussion. Okay. And it's something that we kind of spotted on TV that when that happened and he threw up. And that is unfortunately a very, very clear, obvious sign of concussion, because a person in the physical condition of Hook, that man ain't getting blown up. He ain't getting blown up. He's so, like, when that happens, yeah, you're like, oh, this is out of the norm. And
yeah,
I want to see this man. I want to see this man back. I want to see what the story is to follow up on that, because we're going on 3 months without him now, which is, you know, concerning. And I just want him to do well. And I'm interested in what he will do moving forward, because it's the natural progression of the story anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
Irene says, since we're taking bets at my bookie on whose interference will matter most at All In, I feel Danielson or Eddie will cost Mox the match. I feel like, Alex, each person's will mean it in a certain way. Like, Eddie might pop up with a gas can and scare somebody off. Mm-hmm. Danielson might show up and take out Yuta. Sting might show up and take out somebody. Darby's going to show up and dive onto something.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have Swerve and Ospreay, and you're going to have Swerve doing the nod at the end as they all have him on his shoulders and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anything specifically you're looking at?
I love the idea of because we think Eddie's, you know, not quite ready for full all this stuff, but all he's got to do is just pop up from behind a barricade behind Claudio, who then senses somebody there, turns around, spinning back fist, knocks out Claudio. Claudio's done.
I've got the perfect way for Yuta to get dealt with. You see him with his little shit-eating grin, and there is Danielson behind him with a plastic bag, bag, smothering him, and then the facial expressions of Yuta. That's what you want.
Sure. Yeah, that's what we want.
Vicky knew.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm very excited for this show. And I'll tell you what else I'm excited for. Not just for this, but over on the WWE side, once the Cena title run is over, I want to know what's next for AEW post Death Riders. It wouldn't surprise me if they did like a Blood and Guts after this to solidly.
Yeah.
That ends them.
It's over now.
But
yeah.
And in WWE, like, what are they going to do after this? Cause Listen, I feel bad for John Cena. I feel like The Rock kind of neutered what was going to happen there. But Mercedes Moné defeated Mina Shirakawa. And let me tell you, Mina Shirakawa has had her working boots on since showing up in AEW.
Yeah.
And this is what gives me an awful lot of hope for Tekla, who hasn't popped up nearly as much lately. But which also shows to me the abruptness of her debut. But when Mina came over, I looked at her body of work and I'm like, she's had some good, not great matches in her last year before that. She came over to AEW and I thought the Toni Storm match was fantastic. I thought the tag match or the four-way rather that she had was really good. And then tonight's match was incredible. Now, listen. A big part of this is the fact that she faced Toni Storm and Mercedes, who are two of the best workers on the planet. But I often think about kicking people exactly the way that Mina Shirakawa kicked Mercedes Moné, right in the neck, Alex.
Yeah.
This was phenomenal.
It was great. It was really, really excellent. And I honestly really enjoyed the thing from Collision, which kind of set the stage for the way they were going to work this match, of Mina like basically getting Toni to promise that she would not get involved no matter what happens during the match. Because I did think there was a possibility after Mercedes kept getting one up on Toni Storm that Toni Storm would decide to cost Mercedes the TBS title. And I liked that. We're taking that off the table. That's no longer on the table. What is on the table is a dinner for Toni Storm that she will not touch because she has entered a state of catatonia and is not responding to anything sitting in front of her that's happening in the ring. Mercedes and Mina like kicked all kinds of ass. This was really good, hard hitting. I love that it was the first match of the night. I thought that was a good placement for it there to get everything kicked off. Mercedes is on a kind of run like you just don't see. Like, she's everybody all over the world. She's just turning in all of these amazing matches. I have to think that All In will be no different. And I love that I'm sitting here going, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's very easy for me to accept if you told me I've come from the future and Mercedes beat Toni Storm, or Toni Storm beat Mercedes. Yes, I think that either of those things can work, because I believe that that these women are talented enough performers to be able to find something good to do out of a loss at that particular very big match. It's really interesting to me.
So since we started the Fightful Awards, 2022, Jamie Hayter won. The last 2 years, Athena has won. Mercedes hadn't really been put in a position to win because she had walked out of WWE. Mm-hmm. She had the injury. Yep. Then last year, she was recovering from the injury and didn't really get started until midway through the year.
Yeah.
To me, she's running away with. I mean, listen, I'll always say Maya Iwatani and Siri Kondo as well. And Athena's always in the conversation. But obviously, for our audience, an English language speaking audience, Maya Iwatani and Siri Kondo are not going to get those types of votes. But Mercedes has just done an incredible job, and I am so excited for this match. Toni got laid out by Mercedes afterwards, and Anthony says, I've been out of the loop for AEW a few weeks, but I was on vacation. Is there a reason why Toni Storm seemed scared of Mercedes tonight? Alex, your deduction there.
I don't know. Toni is such of an interesting performer. Like, for the first 6 weeks of her, I'm a rookie with amnesia. I was like, I don't know how this works, but she pulled it off. Yes. Like, it absolutely made sense by the time she switched over. So, like, she was sitting out there because she was supposed to be at ringside for this match, but Mina made her promise she wouldn't get involved, and maybe to stop herself from getting involved, she had to like enter a trance state or whatever. But when Mina was getting beaten up afterwards, she went in to help Mina. And then Mercedes came in with this belt shot to the back of the head. And that was it. Toni just laid there limp and didn't get up and didn't cut a promo or anything. Like, is this part of some kind of mind games she might be playing with Mercedes into next week, where she's trying to get Mercedes into a false sense of, false sense of security or something? I don't know.
Her lover was being hurt. I'll tell you something that isn't utilized enough. Sometimes baby faces can be a little intimidated by the fact that they're about to face one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Like, I've covered MMA for a long time, and I saw a lot of really heelish fighters that intimidated the hell out of some real white meat baby face type of people that the audience really wanted them to beat. Yeah. AEW Women's Division blog, who also sponsored the Fightful Awards, which, by the way, if you all are interested in sponsoring the Fightful Awards, hit up Miss Kate Fabe. We are going to get ahead of that, well ahead of that. Mina she did a great job. I was just happy that no one got hit with cake, said 2LT photo.
There was a cake on the table, and the only thing that happened with the cake was that that Mercedes licked it. Like, I thought for sure Luther at least was going into the cake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just got some water thrown at him.
Dude says Marina could beat the entire roster in a shoot. The women's roster, yeah. I mean, listen, unless they get Siri Kondo, which is what your boy is begging for, once I hear Excursion, taking a break, all that stuff, I'm like, please come to America and show everybody what I've been screaming about for the last like 5 years since she left the UFC. But, oh, man, this four-way match, which they did clarify, it's for the number 2 entry in the Casino Gauntlet.
Yeah.
And again, I thought MJF Místico would be a thing. I looked at it from a ticketing standpoint.
Yeah.
But it's going to be MJF. He defeated Brody King, AR Fox, and Anthony Bowens. this felt like a 2019-2020 AEW crowd match reaction. Brody King has been super over. AR Fox has been super over, and Tony Khan has been like, well, let's get him on TV.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And I think that's great because the crowd loved both of them. Bowens was in there as well, doing a lot of stuff, very familiar with MJF. And there were some very funny spots because MJF had been really selling this match as he is terrified of Brody King, like all week, like calling on Danhausen even. And there was a wonderful spot with the sleeper where Brody just has him hanging there and MJF sells the hell out of it. But the finish is what I loved. AR Fox just torpedoes his head into a pin. And MJF said, oh, well, that's mine. I'm taking that. I'm pinning you. We'll talk about the aftermath, but the crowd loved this. And I thought this was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was an amazing four-way. This is the thing. You watch this, and Anthony Bowens has everything you could want. It's just that the presentation of this new character is not clicking. So we'll figure out a way to do it. But the other thing I was like, I obviously it's far too early to give up on it entirely.
Yeah.
But I'm watching him and AR Fox doing tandem moves together, and I was like, that looks really cool. I mean, there's something to be said about, like, Anthony Bowens is great, and I do think he's got a great singles run in him. But everybody, like, goes back and forth between, like, I'm in a tag for a while, I'm back with a singles thing. And I was watching him and AR Fox, and I was like, those two guys I know could come up with tandem maneuvers that would blow everyone's socks off. So, like, I'm just saying there's that both of them, I love both of them, and I think they each have good singles runs in them, but I couldn't help but watch them together and go, that's interesting and enticing to me. Brody King is phenomenal. He's better and better. All the news from Buddy is not great.
Yeah.
So like, if that was a thing they wanted to do with them as a tag team, maybe even going after the Hurt Syndicate, that seems like it's not happening right now. And I don't
know. It's insane that Buddy wrestled the match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that we know how bad it is, it's wild.
Brody. I would have to see who comes out of All In as the TNT champion or the unified champion. But Brody King getting a run with one of the mid-card belts would be, they're trying to make the unified thing into a 1A. And I don't mind that at all, because I think he's good enough and certainly over enough to be that kind of guy. But if Kyle Fletcher were to lose the title in a quicker than we thought reign, Brody King getting a shot to run with that title for a little bit would be a lot of fun, and people would be super into it.
So after the match, Mark Briscoe comes out, and a thing that I liked is he straight up was like, MVP, Lashley, Shelton, I'm not talking about you guys. I got a lot of respect for you guys. I'm talking about him. And he's got the, you know, MJF has a little pickle shirt on and all that.
Yep.
And he's like, you're number two, but I'm number one. So again, first off, I like the promo. I like the interaction, all that. So that's fine. But from a booking standpoint, I'm like, if MJF beats him, I feel like Mark Briscoe going through this long, arduous run, and then MJF kind of coming in, doing a few minutes, and then winning it would, like, help further that program a little bit more. But, like, they're meeting next week, apparently.
Yeah, they're going to have a face-to-face about... I don't know, something. That just feels like a very WWE segment. A face-to-face between two guys who start out a gauntlet is like, I don't really... This have them fight each other when the gauntlet starts.
Yeah.
That's the thing to me. Also, I think you're correct. Like, Briscoe starting at number one, going through all of this thing, fighting off everybody, and the last guy in the match is MJF, who comes in and pins Briscoe, would do a lot more to start their feud than them fighting each other for how long is the first two? 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Like,
And I mean, like, one day what AEW is going to have to do is to, like, announce an impromptu casino gauntlet and have it immediately end to just show that it can. And then after that, maybe you can say, okay, there's a minimum number of participants, and that sort of adds to it. And then that becomes the new thing to get the number nine spot, the number 10 spot, something like
absolutely.
That.
Correct.
I do understand, like, if you make a minimum, you're getting into King of the Mountain territory, which had a few too many, where you hang a belt, you've got a penalty box, all that.
They don't need to do all that.
NXT kind of did it. They sort of ripped it off with, like, what is it, Iron Survivor or something like that. Yeah. So, and people, those NXT fans love that. But they are going to speak next week.
And they're going to have everyone in the chat is yelling at us. It's a talkie talk. It's not a face-to-face. In WWE, it's all the face-to-face. In AEW, especially if Mark Briscoe is involved, it is a talkie-talk.
Okay. So. Listen, well, those are two guys that talkie-talk very well.
Yeah. They talkie-talk a lot. So they do. This should be interesting.
It should be good. Should be interesting. Parker Hines says Kevin Knight versus Shelton is tasty for Collision. So, Jet Speed, get the dog shit beat out of them. Has been the whole... Huh?
Three times? Like, it was like they got the dog shit beat out of him. Is that all you got? Dog shit beat out of him. Is that all you got? Dog shit beat out of him. Like, I feel like at that point you lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I once there's a guy who, honestly, he was like 0-53 and 5. No, 1-53. He hit a guy with a Tonka truck once. He won that fight. But in our town, and I was effectively the impromptu ref. And my cousin just, bam, cracked him in the face once. And they were best friends. My cousin stood over him and he goes, "You had enough?" And the guy looked up and he goes, "Honestly? Yeah." At what point?
That's a great line.
When Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
At what point is just like, I'm good.
This is the thing, is that they said, "You might, you can knock us down, but you're going to have to kill us." No, all they got to do is put their foot on your chest for 3 seconds. Because they might do that, but also, like, they don't have to kill you. Both times they laid you out before you got up and said, "Is that all you got?" They probably could have pinned one of you. You were basically unconscious.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like this is you have to do a lot to make me genuinely care about a guy before underdog babyface stuff works. And while I like both of these guys, I just they're already setting up Christian and Nick Wayne for another title shot with Hurt Syndicate. So I have no in like this match God, will be
Christian
a lot
isn't
of fun
on the show either. Yeah.
The match will be a lot of fun. Jet Speed versus
it's gonna be good.
It'll be a lot of fun. But I have there's not a thought in my head that Jet Speed's winning this. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. But it's just a stopgap. But I think stopgaps should not happen on a show like All In. You should be doing the major matches that have a shot of actually changing the title belts. Rather, you do a stopgap on a lesser pay per view. For me,
I actually love this idea from Brian More or Less. A way to do it is if AEW ever has to vacate a title, schedule two casino gauntlets in one night to determine number one contenders. Good. Have the first one end immediately, then the second one be the longest one ever.
That's a great idea.
I actually love that idea.
Yeah,
I think that's really good. And thank you for the very generous Super Chat Humper Chat. That's just a good-ass idea.
Yeah, sure. You know what? I'm changing your name. You're now Brian Moore. You're not Less.
Yeah.
There's nothing less about that idea. You are Brian Moore.
Here's the thing. He provided us Less and Moore there.
He did, because the short one and the long one. That's great.
He's living up to the name. He's living up to the name right here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what lives up to the name. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I mean, listen, I don't know how that segue worked, but it's a VPN, so it does live up to the name.
Yeah.
And it does have a great deal. I've told you guys about this one for quite a while. Over 2 years for just like a few bucks a month. Now, you might say, "Sean, why do I need that?" Well, are you ordering that UFC pay-per-view next weekend? or not UFC. I mean, any UFC pay-per-view. I ordered one this past weekend, and I got it for like a third of the price that you pay over here. But if you're ordering that AEW pay-per-view next weekend, save yourself $20. You might go, Sean, how do I do that? You download the app, whether it be on your phone, desktop, laptop, whatever, any device, any operating system. It just pulls up and it says, oh, you're in the United States. You change that over to the UK. You go get on Triller. You go get on YouTube, wherever it is you want to buy that pay-per-view. And that price is going to show up about half of what it does here in the US. And if you're like, oh, well, I'm not done watching all that. I'm not done watching all this wrestling stuff. Well, if you have a Netflix account, they are pretty chill about the fact that you're using a VPN. So just log into your Netflix and you're going to have access to all that WWE content next weekend. Evolution, Saturday night's main event. What's the other one? NXT Great American Bash, all that stuff with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might say, Sean, don't know if I like it. Well, 30-day money-back guarantee. Sean, that's not enough for me. Well, guess what? You can get an Amazon gift card as well. Man, where's the best location to choose for poo dirt prices? Anywhere overseas. Anywhere overseas. In the chat, if you all use NordVPN, let me know, and I want to know where you use it from.
Yeah. Where do you move to on show
where
night?
Where do you move to virtually? Because let me tell you, I'm going to have that NordVPN.com/Fightful fired up on my Texas trip, on my New York, New Jersey trip, my Toronto trip. Pat says New Zealand, Denmark, Lithuania is the real answer. That's the one. That's the very common one. UK, England. I think you mean Latvia. Latveria.
You're Dr. Dooming it. That's fantastic.
It sounds like an NXT name.
Oh,
Jordan S., thank you so much for the Humper Chat. The Young Bucks have a customized limo.
Yes.
They bought it on the company card as EVPs.
I'm sorry. This used to be a proper country. How the hell did that limo not end up trashed by the end of the episode by the baby faces? Somebody had to have had that thing towed and then crushed into a cube. Come on. Like, it's a wrestling show. The bad guys have a cool car they just bought, and they would get in big trouble if anything happened to it. Well, then something's got to happen to it. Come on.
We still got time, so I've got hope.
All right, fine.
But it was them returning to Rancho, and they did this. They were on a swing set, and they did the backflip on the,
yes,
I like the swing. Then Takeshita and Young Bucks defeated Bandido, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly. Not sure why not Adam Cole, but I mean, listen, Bandido's got the mask, so I think that might be why.
Yeah, okay, so here's my thought. Bandido and Takeshita have a match coming up. Is that correct? Am mm-hmm. I correct? So that's why yes. Bandido. And the Young Bucks are just, you know, they're bad guys. And the Paragon tandem is like a fantastic working babyface tag team who would, yeah, sure, we'll team with Bandido. What we really needed was like a 12-second Kyle O'Reilly promo where he was trying on his own fun, like, bandana mask. You know, like, just something for, like, let Kyle O'Reilly be Kyle O'Reilly. Come on, he was so much fun doing the backstage stuff. With the conglomeration, we don't get to see a chance to be just give me a little more wacky Kyle.
A good match, as you would expect. This is a Superman crossover. They did another one after this.
This is great.
But Love for Boost says, bring Takeshita into the Elite. That's a trio I need way more of. Their styles work perfectly together. Well, I mean, we've got that friction between Okada and Takeshita, and that's something that we're going to see play out a lot more. Before we get into the post-match now, what did you think of the match itself?
I loved it. I mean, like, the Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, brilliant workers. I really love what Bandito's been doing. And then you can't say enough about the Young Bucks, and Takeshita's, like, absolutely one of the best in the world. This was a truly fantastic, like, it was a PWG match without any nonsense. It was just...
Yeah.
Tremendous. Bandido took a power bomb directly on the back of the head that scared me for a second, but
yes,
like, like it was just a really fantastic match here. Loved all of it. And I also wanted to just shout out, like, there, I have rarely been on the side of fans going into business for themselves more than I was on Collision. Like, I want to give a standing ovation to those fans for the both these Kyles, Kyle Forever, Holy Kyle, all of those chants.
We, like, Kyle people.
We Kyle people was amazing. The Kyle Fletcher and Kyle O'Reilly thing, somebody in that audience said, let's do all these Kyle chants, and everyone in the audience said, that is a good idea. We will all do it with you. It was brilliant. I love that each Kyle was thinking they were chanting for him and him alone. It was just the very best. It's the best thing ever. Loved it. Loved it.
It was very good. It was fantastic. So we had spoke a while back about how there would be some heavy stakes added to the Young Bucks, Swerve, and Ospreay that would justify not doing Swerve versus Ospreay.
Yeah.
Last week we got the challenge. It was the EVP challenge. And what I liked was that Swerve kind of cleared it up because our thumbnail was future EVPs.
Yeah.
And he had a great line to do it. He goes, listen, we're not trying to become EVPs because I do not trust Will Ospreay with that power.
And Will was like, me? You're right not to.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, but you shouldn't be EVPs. It should be back to the audience. And Tony Khan. But then the Young Bucks are like, why would we do that? What do we have? Like, why on earth would we do that? And then Ospreay jumps on the mic and says, well, because we won't challenge for the world title for a year if you can win. And then the Young Bucks are like, oh, hell yeah, that would be great. We would love that because they understand. And this also conveyed the importance of these two characters. It's hard to justify not giving those two guys a title shot. And the right. Young Bucks don't even try to ignore that that's a reality. They know that it'd be hard to do that without this stipulation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have watched a buddy of theirs work himself into a shoot in previous AEW history to where he could never challenge
right.
for the AEW world title. So they understand the realities of this situation, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I get because they're a-holes, but yeah. I don't understand what they actually care whether or not these guys challenge for the title. Like, they're not. Them. But okay, I guess that's why they're just a-holes. Like, it's not like because it would get in the way of their challenging for the world title, which they're definitely not going to do. I think, to me, the problem with this is it telegraphs the end of the match to me. Because I think that to me, I think it does. Because the Bucks aren't the EVPs anymore has no real tangible effect on the TV product other than the Bucks don't get to be high flying jet guys anymore. They're,
I mean, it's a complete gimmick change for them.
It is a gimmick change for them, which ultimately does not really affect 8/10 of the rest of the show, but figuring out a way to keep Swerve and Ospreay away from the title while Hangman has it for at least, you got to figure 6 to 8 months, and then whoever has it after that, like, is a way for Swerve to blame Ospreay because it was his idea, and then they have a feud, and then after they're done doing that, they realize, you know what, we should team together and become the tag champs. And so you just keep these guys artificially, because you wrote it into the script, away from the top title, so you don't have to worry about how are we going to keep Swerve and Will Ospreay from challenging Hangman and beating Hangman? This is how you do it. You do it this way. And so we'll figure it out. And this, I think they need to actually come out and say, okay, it's a year from July 12th, or is it from All In to All In? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but whatever that is.
It's going to be July. I think it'll be 365 days, yeah.
The idea of Will Ospreay takes a year off, but wins that title. at the next All In. Like, that to me makes a lot of sense. But it is just, it feels like a very, I feel the writeriness of the stipulation more than most. And I'm willing to sit back and let it play out. But I will be disappointed somehow if the Young Bucks don't win, because that is a cop out, because this stipulation provides so many different jump off points after Swerve and Will Ospreay lose. And if they win, it's just the Young Bucks have to go back to wearing tassels.
I mean, a lot of people are fantasy booking the bum ass Bucks in our chat, which sounds fun, but like, it would be fun if it was like their idea of bum ass Bucks is like, they got to sell one of their 10 houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't get the stretch limo. They just get like Uber black.
We gotta do a ride share, and we've got to actually carpool.
We can't take a private jet. We have to fly first class. I can't even get the stink off of me. You know, like that kind of a thing.
Stricker says, "I'm sure Ospreay and Swerve lose now. Maybe they feud for a while. Ultimately, Ospreay wins the title at 2025 All In after the year is up. Wonder what programs happen over the next year. Great show tonight." So yeah, if they do lose, you can immediately then go into Swerve and Ospreay, and they go how long? For like till December, probably.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, they feud nonstop. I do wonder how that works into the main event of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that cohesiveness.
That is really interesting too, because if Will and Swerve lose, is Swerve going to be in the mood to help anybody?
Yeah,
I mean, Ospreay will just shrug it off because he's a big Irish setter. He's like, well, whatever. Like, he's so. But I mean, I just, but Swerve, and I think that in order for Hangman to win, at least Swerve needs to give him the nod. And yeah, he wouldn't do that if he just lost and shouldn't challenge him for it.
That is how Ospreay is, by the way. Like, we did an interview last time, and he goes, "I love doing these interviews with you, but they get me in trouble." And I was like, sorry.
It's not our fart. You have no filter.
Not our fart. Alex said he wants to watch Fart the Movie. I knew it. Do you remember? Oh my God, it's the greatest line ever. Corporate Kane. He accidentally, while trying to congratulate Bryan Danielson on his hard-fought victory, said, "Congratulations on your hard-fought victory." Oh my God. And I can confirm, it is not our fart.
No,
that he says crazy things.
No, it's not our fart.
N. Simmons says, "Great show tonight. Every match went crazy. Mercedes is the GOAT. Love how she hasn't hit her finisher in weeks. Need Roddy Hangman to pay off. We all know that was his wife, and he has to react." I mean, that is a fair point that I often forget.
I suppose it is true, although they have not interacted once, as far as I can tell, on television.
Yeah. We had Ospreay and Swerve defeating the Beast Mortos and Realistico. Mortos will be on CMLL this Friday for the first time in 11 years, Luis notes, which is a good opportunity to tell you guys about Fightful Espanol, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. If you speak Espanol, go follow those. We broke news for free on the Facebook and Instagram this week. Please give those a follow. Please support those, and please help spread the word. We are starting from scratch over there, and Luis is a one-man team right now. We have virtually no budget for it, but it's something that we wanted to try out and really expand, and we hope that you guys will check it out. Maddie Nice says, "Sorry if it's been a while. Any word if the Bang Bang Gang would be back soon or even together again? Is Roosh suspended?" I haven't heard that he's suspended. And the Bang Bang Gang, the guns are healthy. Yeah. And Juice is getting there, and Jay White is not. That's where they all are. Moros Combat says, rar, rar, rar. Ahem. Although the stipulation may be lackluster, I'm choosing not to care a whole lot due to the wrestlers involved in the match. Can't wait to fly out. Hope it opens the show. Thank you both. Well, I love the stipulation, but, you know, this is a big shocker. Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, the Beast Mortos, and Drew Lee go have a good match.
Yeah, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah. Unpredictable nature of pro wrestling right here. Tom LaValle says, as EVP, Ospreay should make his wife all elite. Well, I hate to tell you, she is. So yeah, she already is.
There was a video package for her on Collision.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
They promoted it. Watch our Collision post show, guys.
I honestly, if they lose, I hope they don't feud because I've seen their matches and they're amazing. But I would love for Will Ospreay to be like, this is an opportunity for us. Like, yeah. I know you have loved as much as I have these tag matches. Let's become the tag champs. Yep. Because these guys work so well together as champion, as a tag team. I don't want to have to wait for the feud to be over for them to like work it out and then team together. Just start now. That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh man, this main event. Kota Ibushi is back, and that Kazuchika Okada is back, by the way.
Like, Kota Ibushi is back.
Like, last week was a good, nice return. This Kota Ibushi was back. And this, right up there with any of the singles matches, I'd put it under the Ospreay match with Okada. I am probably, yeah. But it's right up there. It's as good of a TV, like a Dynamite Collision match.
Yeah.
That I've seen. And listen, you can call it the Tiger Driver all you want. Kota Ibushi did a top rope Pearl River plunge. And that was dope. And then he just beat snot out of him in the corner with those Ibushi palm strikes. Like E Honda, like Boss Rutan and friggin' Pancras.
Yes. Yeah. He was
looking like an offensive lineman. Oh my God. Listen, King of the North, take your Marufuji conversation to shove him straight up your ass. I would like to know, in the history of time, has there ever been a person who went from having one of the worst matches of all time, and it was that bad against Marufuji, and then rebounded to have this kind of match like he did against Kazuchika Okada? I never thought we would see this Ibushi again, Alex.
No.
And I'm ecstatic.
This Ibushi was, borderline indistinguishable from the Ibushi who fought Cedric Alexander in that legendary Cruiserweight Classic match. Like, when you think about how 10 years of time would do to the normal body, that progression is basically this, as opposed to what we saw earlier in AEW, which was not the Ibushi that we remembered from his great from that time. Like, this was amazing. That's the other thing about him that's so much fun is the way he bumps is just, it's psychotic. On top of the crazy kicks and the lariat that he hit on Okada, like, his head is still rolling through the aisles. That was insane. This was amazing. I love all the psychology around the Rainmaker, ducking it, coming up with a kick, and all that stuff was brilliant. This was so good. Okada, this felt like Okada was like sending a message of, you think that I've been coasting or that I'm not doing what I can. I still got this in me. I'm just saving it for these moments. And this was phenomenal. And I'm so looking forward to, like, here's the thing. We only have six matches at All In. But one of them could be Omega and Okada for 46 minutes. Just let them go as long as they want. I don't care. This Kenny and this Okada doing it again for this particular stakes, for the combining of these two belts into one new, like as they said, one, and this would be 1A to the world championship of AEW. Let them go out there and do whatever they want. Let them kick the snot out of each other. Let them kick out of crazy stuff. I want it. I need all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Where is this up here? What did King of the North say? He said top five Marufuji singles matches 2022 to 2025. He's going to say, listen, the tag match he just had in New Japan was actually pretty good. The one with Tanahashi was actually very good. Osprey, AJ Styles, Jake Lee, Go Shiozaki, and listen, number five is not one I could probably put right in my head. Probably not one I could just think of right off the top of my head. Got to be real with you. We got Trey saying, what if Will and Swerve lose, end up fighting Hurt Syndicate after they feud with each other? Actually, you know what? We'll get to that after this segment. I apologize. Andrew Brown says, Rainmaker may be the greatest finisher ever. Man, I used to be a snob about that. I was like, why are they doing a clothesline as a finisher? Short arm clothesline. Jake Roberts used to use that as a setup move like 20 years ago. Then I stopped being a dumbass and I watched how Okada did it. And I was like, it's about who and how it's delivered. But, you know.
Yeah.
Who and how it's delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the Golden Lovers reunion, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was wonderful. Because because Lance Archer's out there with Okada. Just, I love that Lance Archer is just the guy who runs security for whatever dude is out there with Don Callis. And then out comes Rocky Romero, and they're going to put the boots to Ibushi, but not so fast. Here comes Kenny Omega with a chair. And then sneaking up behind Kenny Omega is Trimperetta with the extendo baton, but that is wrestled away from him by Ibushi, who hits a big old suplex on him. And then I love this moment of Kenny like coming up to Ibushi, like, you okay? You good? Like, there was some the real
Golden
sincerity,
Lovers reunite.
Some real sincerity there. There's nothing that they could do better, more impactful than sharing a nice little kiss in Texas. Let's get it done. Come on. Let's get it done.
Golden Lovers are back together. You love to see it, man. Great storytelling. Just a great moment. I'm really, really glad that happened. Just incredible moment, man. Brian more or less says Golden Lovers versus Roppongi Vice on TV next week, right? That would make a lot of sense to me.
That would be. That would absolutely. And hell, like get it, figure out a way to like extend this thing to something else after Kenny and Ibushi versus, I don't care. Get the Golden Lovers back together. Set them on a tag run against whoever you want to throw in the ring with them. Somebody, I think, suggested have Don Callis force Takeshita to team with Okada, who he hates.
Yes.
Against the Golden Lovers. And then Takeshita walks out on Okada because he can't stand Okada so much.
Yeah.
There's so much great stuff you can do with Takeshita still being a heel, but being so sick of Don Callis's shit. You could do such great stuff with Takeshita there, man.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats, guys. We are heading down the home stretch here. And Trey says, what if Swerve and Will lose and they end up fighting Hurt Syndicate after they feud with each other? So I feel like the tag team division this year has to be brought back to prominence. They have a real opportunity here.
They do.
They are starting a title 1B. And this is the time you bring the tag team division back to prominence.
Yes.
And you have some, whenever Omega doesn't have the title, Golden Lovers have the Young Bucks. If they are not EVPs anymore, you have them remind you of why they became EVPs. You have FTR going a godly run, Cope and Christian. You do some cool stuff, man. I think it's possible. What do you see about that possibility?
They have so many great teams and also so many factions that you could just pick two guys from that faction to be the tag team in the faction. And I think RPG Vice, they have such a storied history themselves and were so great. There's so many tag teams that you could throw together. To say nothing of this trios division that is just that I feel like has been basically held hostage since All In of last year, when they were the Death Riders, then when the Blackpool Combat Club and they won it.
Yeah.
And then they held it for way too long and they lost it to the Ops, which was a good move at the time, we thought, but then Hook got injured and they were like, okay, well, we're just going to sub in Will Hobbs, which I thought was a great move. But now they've just been running security kind of and never defending their titles. The trios belts could be really excellent. They have enough guys. Like if Adam Cole were to lose the title to Kyle Fletcher, the Paragon is a great trio. To run with those trios belts. Make the trios belts into something too. If you are taking away one of our mid-card singles titles, then you have an opportunity to elevate both the tag division and the trios division at the same time. While, and I cannot stress this enough, finally introducing the women's tag team titles. Because you want to talk about how much talent they got sitting on the bench who could be part of a tag division over there. Like, they're amazing women. And there are so many ready-made tag teams. Please, please do it.
Tom LaValle says, don't forget Okada won tonight with the sexy pin. We did not forget. Thank you very much. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. If you are watching this after the fact, leave a comment. Jordan, your Humper Chat, the donation came through. The comment on it didn't. So just comment it here without a super chat, and then we will answer it. As I ask Alex where the people can find him.
You can find me on all the socials media at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Mondays reviewing Raw with the wonderful Miss Kate Fabe on Fightful Select over on Fridays most of the time. And this week, we'll be back to it. I'm pretty sure. It's 4th of July, so we'll figure something out where I review SmackDown. But now it's going from 3 hours back down to 2 hours. So I think the watch along portion is gone. We're just going to just review that, whatever that is. And that's SmackDown behind Fightful Select. As you mentioned, for the All In post show, it'll be me and Kate reviewing that on this very channel where we normally review Tuesday night's NXTs on this particular show. By the way, there is an NXT show that's happening at the same time as All In, but we'll review that at a different time than we normally would. But don't worry, that review will still get done that weekend at some point. So there you go.
I am headed to Texas next week, probably after this show. So we're going to have a lot of content here for you. A lot of that stuff, the early notes, all that, will be on FightfulSelect.com. I'm going to be posting all kinds of stuff, like who's in town, like what's going on, anybody that I spot out. If I get interviews, I will be dropping notes over there on FightfulSelect.com. So please subscribe. It's $5.99 a month or $64 a year, and you can gift subscriptions, which we greatly appreciate. Jordan's Humper Chat was, okay, hear me out. If Swerve and Ospreay lose to the Bucks at All In and can't challenge for the titles for a year, bring my boy Keith Lee back and kick that feud back off with a serious dominant Lee. I think that he should be one of the surprises for the Casino Gauntlet.
Especially in Texas, because he's a big Texas boy. Like, there are people in that state who love him so much. I think that'd be a really great thing as a surprise to have Keith Lee back.
I completely agree. That's something that I think should be done. But guys, this week, Big Trouble Ben Bishop. Listen, if you all don't know who he is, you're going to know who he is. It's going to be hard to avoid. Zoe Lucas on the 4th of July. We got that one. We got Missa Kate early next week as well. Man, we're going to have a bunch of interviews next week. Some of them I might put on Select. Zilla Fatu, Carlos Silva of TNA, the head honcho over there. Lots of cool stuff. But then I'll be on site, Texas, for All In coverage. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.